Hey there, it's Tony here from the Coach Curl podcast. Today we meet two amazing ladies helping people take their next steps in life. Did you know what you wanted to do when you left school? Maybe you needed Stephanie and Lisa. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. From the Coach Curl podcast, and welcome to episode 33. At the beginning of this year, I had the pleasure of meeting Stephanie Morris and Lisa Floyd, who shared with me a concept that they had that has now become their business, My Next Steps. What struck me about the two ladies was their undying passion to help people that had left school and had no idea what they were going to do. Heaven knows. When I left school, I was one of them. I'd tell a story that I fell out of school because that's, in hindsight, what it feels like. I fell out of school. I had no idea what I wanted to be doing. But on top of helping people in that situation who have no idea what they want to do, they also have come face to face with the problem where people have started a university degree, an apprenticeship, a job that wasn't quite what they thought it would be. And Stephanie and Lisa are in a position to be able to help them as well within their business of My Next Steps. And this is where it comes from. Their first 4 months in business has been hectic. They've run their first workshops, they've taken their first coaching and career clients on board, and they are so excited that they're moving forward with gusto that I just had to share a conversation with them and my audience. Now, during the podcast and during the interview, you'll hear that we did have a couple of minor sound hiccups. We had a microphone that didn't quite want to do what it had to do most of the time. But generally, the conversation is inspiring, it's authentic, it's genuine, and you can truly see and feel the passion that Steph and Lisa have about My Next Steps. I look forward to... straight after this break, I look forward to sharing this conversation with you, with Stephanie Morris and Lisa Floyd from My Next Steps. Stay tuned.
Coach Curl proudly supports Carter's Cause, raising funds for Heart Kids Australia, honouring the brave legacy of Heart Angel Carter, who passed in 2013, just 30 days old. All funds raised by Carter's Cause go to aid the families of kids born with congenital heart disease. Learn more by visiting www.carterscause.org.au.
Okay, I'm sitting here with the wonderful Stephanie Morris and Lisa Floyd from My Next Steps.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hi, Tony.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here today, and I'm really excited to be talking with you about some of the stuff that you've been doing, because it's really exciting stuff. But first up, let's just hear a little bit of the background of where you've come from. So first up, Lisa.
Yeah, Tony. So my background is in construction. I've been in construction for over 20 years now, in HR.
Dev, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, Tony, I've got a history of working in education with young people and transitions from school to work. Started out working for a large local high school, moved into working for the department on a project which was meant to look at how we can actually help schools deliver better pathways for students, prepare them for the workplace. I then went on to work for the Smith family as a partnership broker, and in that role I spent 2 years, again, trying to work on how we can help young people enter the labour market and things like that while they're still at school, prepare them, and came across some really exciting programs. From there, that funding was withdrawn from that program, so I went on to work, set up the AITC, which is our local trade college here in the Redlands. That was exciting and also made me realise that, again, at school, it's the perfect time to try and prepare young people for the world beyond school. So then came along My Next Steps.
But Your background really does focus on youth, and yours was, Lisa, more in the HR world. And so what brought you two together to start My Next Steps?
We were introduced by a mutual colleague of ours, Julie Blytho from Apprenticeships Queensland. She introduced both Stephanie and I, as Stephanie worked with Julie at AITC. And we share some common passions around helping young people find the career that they're passionate about, and one that will fast-track them to an enjoyable long-term career.
Doesn't school, or isn't school supposed to do that for our young people? Is that just me being naive, Steph?
Look, it's really hard. When young people are at school, the last thing that thinking about is what they're going to do when they leave school most of the time. There are those ones that are really focused and really clear about that, but the majority of young people are really thinking about the present moment. The curriculum is so full and there's so much pressure on them to obtain either an OP or a QCE, so the time to be able to actually do some real career development work with them at school is very, very limited, and staffing is limited as well. I mean, some schools do this better than others. Our private schools have more people employed to do that. Our state schools have a pretty high ratio of students to career guidance counsellors, and their work also involves working in the welfare situation. So where there's more, you know, depression and, you know, other mental illnesses on the rise, there's a lot more of that kind of work done by our career guidance officers.
Okay, and when I think back to when I was at school, it was very much a case of that I was probably more focused on, you know, sport and chasing the girls potentially than what I was in what I was going to do after school. And I use the term a lot that I just fell out of school. So how does your program work now? Let's talk a little bit about My Next Steps, and let's just find out how it works and why it's filling that gap.
Look, Tony, we originally thought when we set up My Next Steps that we would be focusing on young people who had recently left school. That was going to be our target. But what we've found since we've started delivering programs to those young people is that that we're hearing from a lot of others. So people who are still at school, others who have left the workforce a few years before and have sort of fallen into jobs, not really made any plans. So we've got quite a diverse group of people now working with us, from probably grade 10 through to people in their early 30s.
Wow, yeah.
And we're getting inquiries from quite a big range of people. And Lisa's probably able to tell you a bit more about the one-to-one work we do.
So the one-to-one, or our Flight Plan Essentials one-to-one, is three sessions that we have with the individual, and we help them to navigate their career pathway. So the scientific model, or our online assessment that we have, matches them with over 1,200 career occupations. So a very impressive scientific tool that will help us to be able to mentor and coach these young people to find what is it that's their career choice, and what enjoyment are they going to get out of it. Any parent, just wants the best for their young person. They want to make sure that they have a career that they'll be happy with and they'll enjoy for a long time to come, and that they'll be successful in. So for us, it's about navigating and getting them there a lot sooner.
Okay. So the career assessment tool, has there been any surprises when people have done that, or is it just rekindled maybe a flame that they had younger that they'd been suppressing? Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely it has. And, you know, there's quite a few stories that I can tell you. One that pops into mind is we have a young male who really wanted to be in the military, wanted to become a paramedic, and he's currently 18 at the moment, and mum, of course, being a little bit concerned and hesitant, said wait until you're 20 before you even look at something like that. It was really interesting because when we went through the online tool, we matched him with a paramedic role. He matched around about 40%, which meant that there were some things and some coaching that we needed to talk through in terms of what you do in the role, the activities, the fact that you will be on the forefront. And this young person was really confident really confident, communicated strongly, you would think that this person would be able to jump in there and be the person that, you know, saves a life, and if something terribly went wrong, would be okay with it. What I learned is that this person actually didn't want to be on the forefront and didn't want to be the person that made that mistake. And so it was great to be able to then work through what a paramedic does, what they would have to do, the skills and knowledge that they would need, and the fact that he then had some things to consider in terms of what sort of long-term enjoyment am I going to get out of this role? How is it going to, you know, help me through my career? You know, am I going to be able to stick at this for a long time to come? And he actually thought twice about it. So we explored a range of other careers that he matched really strongly with, and now he's on a different pathway, which he's really excited about.
Excellent. Now, the online tool is just part of the program?
Yeah, so it's only one part of the program. It's built around a series of, you know, skills, building, working through the strength areas. It's building the resumes, cover letters, because the navigation tool is something that you can also take to your employer, because it can show and back up all of your strengths that you've got in your resume as well. So we help the young person to develop all of that, and it doesn't matter right through to changes, adults, on whether or not the current role is for them. We're working with, you know, a range of different age groups, but definitely.
So they do an online assessment. They do some skill work and some online coaching with you. You tidy up their resumes.
Look, what we do 3 face-to-face sessions with them. You can learn a lot more face-to-face than you can online, but we still have the ability to do that with Skype and other kinds of technologies. But part of that, of what we do in that session, after we've really drilled down into the types of careers that they're suited to and then explored the things that they're attracted to, looked at where the jobs are, and I think it's really important that they understand that we have current knowledge on where the jobs are, where the skill shortages are, that sort of thing, because it is a really complex world out there now, the labour market. It's not like it used to be, which is why parents find it really hard, and that's another important topic to discuss today, I guess. But then we do help them to create a plan A and a plan B, because sometimes plan A doesn't work out. I think a lot of us probably know that, and we're still on our plan Bs. Not us, of course. But then we also help them with a resume, their cover letter, and connecting them with, and it might be that we connect them with a training course or some sort of university study, or it might be that we just help them getting into a job situation. So we've got a pretty wide network. Lisa's, as she said, come out of construction. I've come out of education. But we've developed a pretty wide network of people in a lot of different areas, and we're constantly learning about what it takes to get jobs in those areas and what people are looking for.
You mentioned the complex world, and well, first up, I think I'm on about plan F, I reckon. So there was plan A, there was plan B, and I think a lot more have fallen through. So I'm on plan F. So, but I guess that also indicates a little bit of my age. I'm thinking, hey, look, you mentioned the complex world and the changing world, and really relative to me at the moment. I caught up with some old friends of mine up in Townsville on the weekend, and they're still in retail and they're still in large format retail. And the thing that was really quite relevant to me about that conversation was that they still had the same number of people that worked in their store. They still had 150 people on the books. And I'm talking about Kmart here in particular at in Townsville. But the mix has changed dramatically. So a lot of those 150 people are now what I would call like short hour casuals. You know, they might only get, you know, between 3 to 10 hours a week. So when I started in retail, for example, the workforce was predominantly full-time, and we've seen that evolution in retail and I'm guessing in many other industries. So it must be really tough for someone at the moment to really plan a career, say, in retail and hospitality. And are you seeing that with the young people that you're dealing with that coming out of school?
One of the things we're finding is that those jobs are great ways for young people to start out in the world if they want to get some employability skilling. but they often don't offer long-term progression, as you say. If they're the sort of people who would do really well in management, then there are, you know, lots of different progressive paths, and you can actually start to talk to them about, you know, have you thought about a long-term career in this industry? Do you really love the industry? And if so, what sort of training can you do that's going to actually qualify you to get on a pathway that's going to take you into the more permanent jobs within those industries? And interestingly enough, everyone's talking about health being the, you know, the best source of employment for the next 10 years because of growth in that area. But one of the other large areas of growth is actually hospitality in restaurant and cafe management, because everyone can afford a $4 cup of coffee these days. So you know, people as young as 20 and 21 are actually now becoming managers of small businesses like that, which is a great opportunity. So those industries really do prepare you also for other industries, though, and that's why it's great to be trying to get to be thinking about getting a foot in the door while you're still at school.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. Transferable skills, customer service, sales, the ability to be approachable, have a good attitude, they transcend across most other industries, I guess. So what, from your experience, have you seen young people do when they leave school, and if they haven't got a dedicated path? Like I know young people who want to go into the, you mentioned the Defence Forces, they tend to know the path and they tend to follow that, or if they're going to uni to do something, sometimes they're not quite sure what they're doing, but they go to uni and then what? So I've seen that happen as well. But what are you seeing in young people when they leave year 12?
Only that when, you know, young people are leaving school, they're often finding that, you know, the casual work will eventually dry up, and because they become a little bit unaffordable maybe for the business, and they're bringing younger people through. Going to uni, getting 3 months in and finding that's not the course for them, and what they do is they end up going back to casual work, and trying to get casual work and sustain casual work is not always possible. So what I have noticed the most is young people, their confidence level has dropped to an all-time low. And, you know, for us and our program, what that does is enables them to regather their strengths and learn about themselves a little bit more, and then align to the careers and the career opportunities that that we have or that they become matched with. So, yeah, absolutely. Confidence is low. And, you know, they're sitting around, they're on the lounges, they're on the couches at mum and dad's place, and, you know, really not necessarily having a great time, or having a great time and not knowing that there is something there that they can do for themselves.
And one of the things, Tony, is that parents are feeling that they're really shut out. So they've got this young person sitting on the couch chewing up their Netflix allowance and their data overnight, and what they're finding is that they can't seem to help them, because the conversation, and you know, anyone who's had a 17, 18, 19, 20 year old knows that they're at that age where they think they should know everything, so they like to, you know, put across to their parents that they do, but inside they really are a bit worried, very, very worried in fact, about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And parents find it really difficult to help them. They don't feel they have the expertise to help them navigate the world of careers as it is now, because it has changed so much in the last 25 years. So what happens is you've got these young people sitting at home. They're not able to get Centrelink a lot of the time because of the ceilings there as far as wages go. They also aren't able to access the job search agencies like your Max Employments, your TERSs, those sorts of things. And there's really nowhere they can go to get good career advice other than perhaps a psychologist. And we do have a few psychologists that have done their Cert 4 in career development, so have an understanding of how to navigate that pathway. But not everyone wants to go to a psychologist. So it's like this, there's just nowhere that they can go to get the help they need. And so that lack of confidence just gets lower and lower. They get more expensive to employ. So if they're not skilled, then no employers are really interested in taking them on. And often there's an attitude that makes them a little unemployable as well, that seems to be predominant. And we talk about that lack of taking responsibility, which is something that adults tend to talk a lot about young people. Mm-hmm. And so it's a hard conversation to have, because young people, if given the chance, will often shine. Mm-hmm. But often they're not given the chance because they're tarred with that one brush of young people know everything, they're absolutely useless, they're unemployable.
I really liked your term, Lisa, regather your strengths, and that's what I'm hearing a lot of in the conversation today. It's about those young people rekindling that fire within and actually looking at the strengths. And Steph, you mentioned that whole concept of the general viewpoint of young people. And there's been so many studies done around millenniums and all this stuff. At the end of the day, we're all people. And if we can start a conversation, it's amazing what can come from that conversation. And I'm guessing that you see that a lot. You see people coming into your programs that are lacking a bit of confidence. And just finding that one or two people that cares about them. Any success stories that you want to share? Any lights being shined and glimmers in eyes and all that sort of stuff, please?
Yeah, Tony, you see the light bulbs go on when you're sitting there with a young person and you're talking about their strengths, but you're not only telling them about their strengths because you've had a conversation, it's actually supported by the online profile tool that we go through as well. So those light bulbs go on and they get that moment of clarity and direction. I think they're the two biggest words, and then it grows their confidence in terms of matching them with their strengths, and not just talking about it in general, we're actually matching them with careers. So this is about the career, this is about every aspect of the actual role that they want to undertake in their plan A or potentially their plan B. So it's really about matching them, and when they feel really confident that they know every aspect of the role and they know their strengths and they know how that can be matched, and then they can start to visualize. Once they start visualizing that happening, they want to take action. And that is where we end up, is they want to take action and they start following their plan A.
That's just awesome to hear that there's people out there that care and want to work in this space. Just a really quick question. Did you ladies know what you wanted to do when you left school?
Well, there's a thing. I was going to be a teacher. And then I met a boy and the rest is history. So
I didn't know what I wanted to do when I left school. I knew that I'd like to get into business and explore business opportunities. But really in terms of the clarity of direction and where I would end up and what I would really be good at, no, had no idea. Mm. I even went into tourism and did hospitality, got in there and a few months later thought, wow, this is a lot of chef work and it's really not for me. So ended up leaving there and getting into business and worked my way up successfully into executive leadership roles through business and just working really incredibly hard and having fun along the way. But I didn't know myself, and I wish I had had something like this years ago. Yeah.
So it's okay not to know where you're going, because there's people like you ladies that are going to help and support people find out where. So what's the biggest challenge that you're facing in your new business, My Next Steps, the biggest challenge that you've got?
Gosh, that's a really tough one. We've only actually been in business since early February. And in that time, we've been working out which programs we enjoy delivering the most, which ones deliver the most value, who our customers really are. We've been working on a website, which we're really excited is now up and live, so www.mynextsteps.com.au. We've been working on spreading the word out there to schools and to industry, and there's an awful lot of excitement out there about it. But I guess our biggest challenge is going to be making the difference that we want to on the scale that we want to as quickly as we want to, because we want to change the world soon, you know, not in 10 years, but we actually really want to make a difference soon. So I think it's just getting that message out there. So today this is a great opportunity to tell people exactly what we do.
I think the schools is where we would like to look for more support, because, you know, every Year 12 student can benefit from our program. And if we could get support from parents and principals and schools, we would be able to get more young people exposed to the program and have them on their way to success, which then in turn will give schools good results at the end when they're leaving. Not only that, career subject selections we can also support, as well as, you know, workshops and topics throughout year 10, 11 and even year 12. So school support would be amazing.
And so I'd imagine that you've got, you get quite a lot of contact from parents and you get quite a lot of contact potentially from grandparents. How does that tend to pan out and how can parents help get this message? Because I can imagine there's some frustrated parents out there because they're seeing their child who they've loved all their life, that they've filled up with, you know, ideas, momentum, potential. They've got all this potential and potentially they're sitting on the couch, whether it's Netflix or the Xbox or whatever it is that they're playing these days. And they're seeing potentially people who they consider bright, affectionate, huge amounts of potential, wasting that potential. And I think you mentioned before the messages and whatnot. So how can parents help get that message to their child that a program like yours is hugely beneficial?
Look, one of the things, I've raised three teenagers. My youngest is 18. So and they've all taken very different paths. And what I know is that when they're at that age where they're making decisions, as a parent, it's really important for us to be supportive and to take a step back and not to hassle them too much, because the more you hassle them and tell them that they should be getting off the couch, they should be getting a job, they should be doing something, the more they tend to push back and go, you know what, I'm fine. So part of our role is to guide them and influence them, but very gently. And when we feel like shouting at them and shaking them, we have to bite our tongues and think about how we could be more effective, so that when you hear this, you know, about My Next Steps and how we could help that young person, they're more likely to be open to listening. Because one of the things we do find is that we get a lot of frustrated grandparents and parents saying that they would love to have our program delivered to their young person. But when they go and talk to the young person about it, they say, no, I'm fine. I've got it all under control. I don't need to go and see anybody. And a lot of that is because they just feel that they've been pushed into a corner. So one of the things we can do is, well, ideally catch them a little bit early before they leave school. I think that's a really good time. Until they leave school, they're used to being directed and supported and helped. But then if you've got a young person who's left school and is in that situation of being a bit stuck, not knowing what to do, it's about being subtle, a little bit discreet, and not pushing them.
So, last words, ladies. Give yourselves a bit of a plug, a bit of a wrap, but the last words, you're trying to convince someone to come into your program. Last words to my audience today. Let's see what you got, hey?
Just do it. It's your time to shine. You know, don't think about it. Don't overthink this whole thing. Just get out there. Give us a call. 1-300-944-994, or send us a message through our website, and let's make a start. That's all you have to do, is one step at a time.
And it's one next step at a time, isn't it? So, Stephanie and Lisa, thank you very much for joining us today. Absolutely amazing program. I'll just repeat that website. It's mynextsteps.com.au. Please check it out. These ladies are just filled with heart. They know what they want. They want to help you take the next step in whatever career direction that you really are best suited for. I really love that concept of rekindling the fire, regathering your strengths. So if you're currently feeling like that's not you at the moment, I'd be giving Lisa and Steph a call or checking out their website, and I'd be looking at regathering my strengths, my skills, and helping build the best version of you. Thank you again, Steph and Lisa, for joining us today, and best wishes, best of luck with your business endeavours. This is Coach Curl. I'll be right back.
The Coach Curl podcast is brought to you by Think and Grow Business, the home of the Think and Grow Business Mastermind. If you're serious about growing your business, get serious and join a mastermind group today. Find out more at thinkandgrowbusiness.com.au. And now it's back to Coach Curl.
Well, I hope you really enjoyed the conversation today that I had with Stephanie and Lisa. And truly deciding what to do is one of the hardest things that we do within our lives. We all have our dreams, we all have our aspirations. And when we were young children, we believed that we could be anything that we wanted to believe. And as we get older, those dreams start to diminish. Because we all have our own realities that we start to imagine, that we start to see, and our realities will sometimes constrain us. And we come to the reality that some dreams are just never meant to be. I'm never going to get my call up to play State of Origin for Queensland. Those times have gone. I can't sing to save myself, so my dreams of being on a stage and wooing an audience of thousands is just gone. And those dreams are just that, dreams. And unfortunately, they will remain that way. But my dream to write a book, make a podcast, coach people to be better, have alliances with some of the most inspirational people in the world, have all come true. Yet when I left school, I had no idea. I mentioned before I fell out of school, and if that a program like My Next Steps can help people realize what it is that they truly want to do and what they have the skills to do at an earlier age, I'm all for it. Find out what you want, and importantly, find out what you're skilled at, because we have one life. We have one life. Live it. And if you're one of those young adults sitting there on the couch just wondering about life and getting your your emotions and your feelings from playing Halo or whatever it is that you play on the Xbox these days, dig within yourself and find out what your true passion is. You know, we have one life. Let's live it. Hey, stay tuned for our next podcast when I share my thoughts on heaven and hell. Now, I'm not getting religious, I'm not getting spiritual on you, but it's a concept that I've truly come to believe, concept around heaven and hell. I hope you can tune in. It's going to be a beauty. Thanks for the team at Think and Grow Business for your support of this podcast and the ongoing support. Do yourself a favor and grab yourself a copy of Seriously Simple Stuff to Get You Unstuck. I was speaking to a gentleman who read my book recently, and he was just blown away about how the messages from some of my simple stories just resonated with him and created change within his life. Now, that's awesome, because when you're ready for it, the stories will shine through. And he particularly liked the story about being grounded. And he particularly liked the fact that I'm quite open on the fact that I get grounded when I'm sitting on the surfboard. When I'm sitting on my surfboard and my legs are in the water, that's my grounding. That's where nothing else matters. And that's where my life, the problems that I may have, the issues that I'm facing, the concerns that are coming towards me just fade, because I'm grounded. So grab a copy of Seriously Simple Stuff to Get You Unstuck. You'll find it over at Amazon or at StrongerBraverWiser.com. And don't forget to head to carterscause.org.au and help those wonderful people at Carter's Cause to raise funds and awareness for kids born with cognitive heart disease. Until next time, stay tuned for our next podcast. It is going to be something sensational, and I know that there is something in there for you. But until next time, don't forget the golden rule. Don't be an arsehole. Until next time, I'll see you then. Bye for now.